We shall now turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading at verse 16. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, and at verse 16. Now as he, Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew's brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was the greatest preacher there ever was. We see here that in his sermons he called for repentance and faith. Verse 14, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel. Turn from your sins, be converted, trust in Christ. That was his great message. Come to God, put your faith in God the Savior, in God and his salvation. The kingdom of God is at hand. The judgment day is coming. Prepare to meet your God. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that he is Lord. Are you ready to meet God? The books will be opened. You shall be judged out of all those things that are written in the books, according to your works, whether they be good or evil. Woe to the unconverted on that day. Depart from me, ye cursed, is what will be said to them. But blessed will the Lord's people be on that day. Come, ye blessed of my Father, enter into the joy of your Lord. Jesus then was a preacher of repentance, a preacher of the gospel, the good news, telling people of salvation and telling them to repent and to be saved. And now in this passage in front of us, we see him calling others to be preachers. And he describes them as fishers of men. A fascinating picture. Fishermen. They're called to be fishermen, to go out and to catch men for the kingdom of heaven, for God. Our Lord Jesus Christ left this world shortly after his resurrection. He's in heaven. But the work of fishing for men must continue. And here he sends out, he calls his disciples to send them forth, to train them and send them forth, to carry on the work which he began. He says, follow me, be like me, learn of me, and I will make you fishers of men. So first of all, we have here then Jesus' call. He's walking by the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is really a lake. 13 miles long and about 6 miles broad, full of fish. It was famous in Roman times because of the fish that were caught there and exported to different parts of the Roman Empire. It was known for its fishing. And as Jesus walks along by the seashore, he sees Simon and Andrew casting a net into the sea. And he calls to them and he says, "Come after me. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, I'd like us to think of three ways today in which Jesus calls us. First, he calls every one of us to repent and to believe. He calls us with a call of the gospel. He says, "Come after me. Come to me. Come follow me. Come trust in me. Come to me as your Savior. Whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your background, whatever your nationality, whatever your education, whether you're rich or poor, whatever kind of life you've lived in the past, come to me. Come follow me. Come and be saved." That's the call of Christ, the call of the gospel. And it's a call that we must issue and send out to men and women. This world, you see, is doomed. Bunyan described it as the city of destruction. The clouds of God's judgment are gathering above this world to destroy it. And one day soon it will be destroyed. But Jesus says, "Come to me. Come and be saved. Come, flee from the wrath to come. Come to me under the shadow of my wings, under the protection of my love. Come to me and trust in me. I died on the cross to save sinners. If you come to me, you'll be saved. Your sins will be forgiven." So there's a call today to men and women everywhere, a call to salvation. Have you heard it? Yes, you have. And that you've come to church, you've heard the call there, the call to salvation. But the vital question isn't, have you heard the call? The vital question is, have you obeyed the call? Have you listened and responded? Have you come to Christ? In John chapter 1, we see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. And John is there. And John says, "Behold the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Behold the great sacrifice." And two of John's disciples, Andrew, and doesn't tell us who the other one was, heard what John said. And they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned round and saw them following him and said, "What are you wanting?" And they said, "We want to see where you stay, where you live, where you come from." And they followed him. And they stayed that night with him. It wasn't to his own house. He didn't have a house. He said, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." But they came to his parents' house, or to Mary's house. It seems very likely that Joseph was dead by this time, because there's no mention of him in this, once Jesus began his public ministry. So they came and stayed over with Jesus' family. They heard the call and responded to him. Earlier in John chapter 1, we're told that he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came to his own, the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So Jesus is there, and those who receive him, who believe in his name, will be saved. Their sins will be forgiven, and they will have peace with God. So there's a call to Christ, a call to salvation, a call to the Messiah. Andrew, after he had found Christ himself, went to his brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah. We have found him of whom Moses and the prophets spoke. Come and see." And Peter, Simon, later called Cephas or Peter, came and saw. He came to Christ. There's that call then to come to Christ, to come to faith, to receive and rest upon Christ. And our heart's desire is that every one of you here today, from the youngest child to the oldest person, would come to Christ and be saved. It's a wonderful blessing when you're saved. And it's a wonderful and awful and awesome loss to die without Christ. So that's the first call then, a call to Christ. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The second is a call for those who have come to Christ to serve Christ. In a general sense, all of us are called to be fishers of men. We are called upon to be the light of the world. We are called upon to be the salt of the earth. We're called upon to stand on the side of Christ, like a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid, as a light pointing the way to Jesus. We're called upon to be workers. You have that picture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 of the body. And Christians are like a human body. And in the body there are all kinds of different parts. Hands and feet and stomach and legs and all the rest of it. And each part has a function. Every part of our body has a role to perform. And if you lose one part, if you lost your tongue, for example, what a loss that would be. If you lost one leg, what a loss that would be. Every one of us has a part to play in that body. And every one of us is essential for the well-being of the body as a whole. And we are all called as Christians to be members of one body, to be parts, different parts in that body. We're called to be workers, to be diligent, to be laboring for the Lord. We saw there Andrew, when he had found Christ for himself, how he went then to find his brother Peter. And he brought Peter to Christ. It's amazing what we can do. And yes, what we should be doing in seeking to reach our friends, our families, our neighbors and others, trying to, in some little way, in some way or other, to encourage and to persuade them to come along and to find Christ too. We found the Messiah. Come, come with us and you'll find the great Messiah also. We found the Savior of the world. Come and share in it. We found the best thing possible, the pearl of great price. Come and receive the pearl for yourself. We found treasure. We found pleasure. We found everything that's good. Come to Christ. Come along to church. You might find it there. Come along and read your Bible. You might find it there. It's through the Bible, it's through church, it's through these things that a person can find salvation. Come. We're all called to be fishers of men, in a sense. If all the fishing for men is left to the minister, there are very few fish going to be caught. The minister can only do so much. But if every member of the congregation is a fisherman, a fishing woman, then who knows how many might be gathered in to the kingdom of heaven. You and your small corner, each one of us, in our own little way, with our limitations, with our own problems, we're none of us experts. We're none of us able to answer all the questions that people have. We're none of us so clever as to have the perfect way, the perfect approach. We kind of blunder along sometimes, and yet it's wonderful how God uses feeble creatures like us blundering along to catch this fish here and that fish there and bring them in to the kingdom. So then, we have the call to salvation first, and then the call for all of us to be fishers of men, to be workers in the kingdom of God, to be laborers on the side of Jesus. But then thirdly, there's a call to the ministry, a call to be disciples in that sense, a call here to those who were to be the apostles, a call to come and follow him in an actual physical way, to be with him, to be learning from him, and to be trained by him. They needed quite a lot of training. These men had 3 years of training from Christ to prepare them for the work of the ministry. And it wasn't just a few hours a day. It wasn't just a couple of terms. It was all time, everywhere. They seemed to spend all the time together, eating, drinking, sleeping, always preparing. It was such an intensive course of preparation. 7 days a week, 52 weeks in the year. There didn't seem to be any holidays from this training. It was a very intense college. A call to be followers. The apostles, Andrew and Peter, James and John, the 12, they were, in a kind of a way, the foundation of the church. In one sense, Christ is the foundation. He is the rock, he is the foundation. And yet the Bible also speaks of the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. In a sense, the apostles also were the foundation. They were called upon to lay the foundation of God's word. On this rock will I build my church, on the rock of God's word. And that word will never shake. It will never move. Just the other day, I was talking to a woman, who's often been in church and reading the Bible and so on, but she'd been reading some New Age material, and also in this magazine there were various things about people who had dreams and near-death experiences. And she was laying great emphasis on this. such and such had a near-death experience. They felt this wonderful insight, and they saw God speaking to them and telling them this message and telling them that everybody goes to heaven. And I said, but how can we believe these things? Well, God spoke to that woman. How do you know it was God? Could have been the devil. Could have been her own imagination. Oh, but she was a very holy woman. Yes, that holy women and holy men can be deceived. We have only one guide. God has spoken, and He's given to us an infallible guide. The solid Word of God. All Scripture is inspired by the Spirit of God. That's our foundation. That's our standing place. That's where we get the truth. And it's by God's Word that we are to judge holy women or unholy women, holy men or unholy men, dreams or visions or whatever else it might be. Take it to the Word of God. That's the rule. And that's where we've got to get it all sorted out. Not the ideas of men, but the idea, the truth that God has revealed to us in Scripture. So the apostles then were called to be the foundation, to lay the foundation of the truth. Now in this call of Jesus, we have the call to the ministry of the Word. Romans chapter 10 speaks about this. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now that's telling us very clearly that certain men are sent. Certain men are sent to be preachers. And it pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. So there is a call to the ministry. And we find it here. These men, Simon and Andrew, had been converted some time before this. James and John. We read about their conversion in the first chapter of John. But here they are being called to the ministry. Called to preaching. Called to be full-time laborers in the kingdom. And what is the call to the ministry? Here it was spoken by Jesus himself. Now, we don't get Jesus walking around the earth today calling one person here and another person there and saying, I want you to be preachers and ministers. So how do we know today if a certain man is called to be a preacher? Well, there are various things. First, there's the requirements laid down by Scripture. God calls men and not women to the ministry. Because 1 Timothy chapter 2 says, I suffer not a woman to teach. I suffer not a woman to teach. Teach in the sense of preaching. So it's only men who are called to the ministry. That's one requirement. And a man must be converted, of course. And a man must be living a consistent, holy life in order to be a preacher. So there are these requirements laid down in the Word. Must be converted, must be a man, must be living a consistent life. And then there's the desire, the inner call. If a man desire the office of a bishop or an elder, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, he desires a good work.
It's a good thing to desire to be a minister, an elder, a preacher, desiring that work. The Lord puts a desire into the hearts of those whom He is calling to this work. So there's a desire there, and there is an internal call, a sense that this is what the Lord is wanting you to do, a sense of duty and obligation. So there is that internal call. And then thirdly, there must be the gifts. A man must be apt to teach, have a reasonable ability to study, to understand God's word, and then to speak with some measure of fluency and to explain the truth. That is required. Apt to teach, certain gifts, and a gift to lead, and a gift to pastor and care for the flock of God. A gift to be able to listen and to relate to men and women. And then, fourthly, there must be the recognition of the church. The Lord working through His church, calling a man to be a minister, and at the end of the day, the minister of a certain specific congregation. Sometimes it's said that the call to a congregation is what finally proves that a man is called to the ministry. And there may be something in that. But at the same time, we have to recognize that many men are called to be ministers in congregations who have no right to be there, because they've never even been converted. There's plenty of ministers in our country who've never even been born again. And they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ in a saving way. And they're just good men, but unconverted. They have no personal knowledge of Christ. So, there must be these different things. There are the regulations with regard to the ministry and with regard to the Christian life and Scripture that must be followed. A person must be converted and be a holy man. There must be that call, that inner call, that desire, that sense of duty. There must be gifts for the work of the ministry, and there must be a recognition on the part of the church that this man has been appointed by God to be a minister. So here Jesus calls Simon and Andrew. Come, He says, and I will make you fishers of men. And then He calls James and John. Eventually He calls 12. And one of them was a devil. Solemn thought. Judas, the betrayer. He too was called, but he wasn't converted. Are you aware then of the call of God, the call to be a Christian, the call to serve the Lord? Perhaps even somebody here today called to the ministry. Call of God. Then, secondly, I want us to look at the response to the call. Simon and Andrew were there casting a net. They already knew Christ. They believed in Him as Messiah. They had heard Him preach. Hendrickson, the commentator, thinks that it was maybe a year after they had initially been converted that they had here been called to the ministry. They were fishermen, humble occupation, but doesn't make any difference what our occupation is. Every occupation is good. If it's an occupation that helps people, and if it's an occupation that is providing for life. So they were there fishing, and
Christ calls them. And immediately, they forsook their nets, their boat, they gave up all for Christ. Are we prepared to give up all for Christ? Then he went along a little bit further, and there were James and John with their father Zebedee and hired servants, and they were mending, cleaning, preparing their nets for another night's fishing. And Jesus says, "Follow me." And they followed him. They left everything. Left their work behind. Left their family behind. Left their business, their servants behind. Left it all for Christ. Are you following the call of Christ? Leaving all behind for the sake of Christ. Christ calls us to self-denial. Let a man deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Are we denying ourselves? Leaving father, mother, husband, wife, whatever it is. Not letting anybody hold us back. Not letting anything keep us back. But following Christ. Their response. It was an immediate response. They left all and followed him. There's surely a lesson in us for that. And then, thirdly, Jesus has called them to be fishermen. Come and I will make you fishers of men. There is no doubt a lot that we could say on that subject. In the Old Testament, the concept of a fisherman is often used in judgment. For example, in Amos chapter 4, God says that he will use his hook and he will put it in the noses of the idolaters of Samaria and he will drag them to Assyria, to the place of judgment. A similar picture is to be found in Ezekiel with regard to Pharaoh. I will put my hook in your nose and I will drag you out of your river of the Nile of Egypt. And the fish of your river will stick to your scales and I will drag you and leave you in the desert, on the dry desert, to be a prey for all the animals round about to devour you and to rot in the desert. So the fisherman is one that is dragging off to judgment. That's not the picture used here. The picture here is catching for salvation. Winning folk for Christ. Throwing the baited hook into the water and waiting patiently. The hook baited with the promises of God, and then drawing in to the kingdom, catching the fish for Christ, for salvation, for heaven. Casting out the net and drawing it in. That net which we can see as the judgments, driving people into the net, driving them in into a corner and then pulling them ashore. The warnings of judgment and the promises of God both being used, the law and the gospel used to draw people to Christ, to salvation. The work of a fisherman is a hard work. You just have to talk to some of these men who fish out in the North Sea or in the Minch, and the hours that they spend and the work that they're involved in, it's hard work. And the work of a gospel fisherman is a hard work.
calls for a lot of energy and effort and dedication. And let us remember too that no fish are caught without casting the net. We must keep on casting the net. No harvest is obtained without sowing the seed. And it's no use fishing in a pail or in a puddle where there's no fish. We must reach out into the world, into the ocean, where there are so many needy fish. If we just keep fishing in a little pail, we shouldn't be surprised if we don't catch any fish. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go where the people are. And at times, there will be a great catch of fish. But many times, there will be few fish. Sometimes, like Peter and Andrew, they toiled all night and they caught nothing. Sometimes like that, many times. In our day, it seems that few fish are being caught in Scotland. But there are some being caught. And we thank God for every fish that is caught in the gospel net. God is the great fisherman. And he uses you and me as fishers, all of us in a general sense, and ministers in a very particular sense as fishers of men. I think we'll have to leave there. I'd hope to deal with the next couple of verses, but we'll leave that for next Lord's Day, God willing. So we have a call here then, a call from Christ. Follow me, come to me and be saved. A call to work for Christ as fishers of men, and a call to the ministry for those whom Christ is specifically calling to be ministers in his church. And let's pray and look and long for a great catch of fish, so that those who are on their way to hell would, through the gospel net, be saved and brought to heaven.